Hachette Audio presents Willie, Waylon, and the Boys, How Nashville Outsiders Changed Country Music Forever. Written by Brian Fairbanks. Read by Tyler Darby. Journalist. You're going to get in trouble if I write this. Wailing Jennings. I don't care. You write what I tell you. Introduction. Country music, writes musician Jesse Dayton, is not really a genre, but an actual place. Although that may make sense, it leaves us with the question of where that location might be. If Nashville, which, like Hollywood, is both an idea and a geographic location, then which area of Nashville? Is it the city's music row, with its boardrooms and algorithms and meetings with radio programmers, country music television networks, hairstylists on the payroll, award shows, and the Grand Ole Opry, and twangy FM truck songs? Or is country music in East Nashville, the rapidly gentrifying neighborhood alt-country pays rent in, with its niche XM radio channels, self-released records with self-penned songs about murder and drugs, the ubiquitous acoustic guitars, and busking for spare change? Even were one to figure out where Nashville is, one might not be able to get in. With conservative artists banning Bud Light from concert riders over an LGBTQ+ friendly beer can, and women of color, or women, period, struggling to get played on the radio, the offices of Music Row are welcoming only to straight white men. This is the way it's been for the nearly 80 years country artists have made records in Music City. It has already been suggested that country artists with the R&B-style material or R&B-style delivery be excluded from the best-selling country charts, Billboard noted in the 1950s. There is a chink in the Row's armor, however. It is a hive of power amidst a surprisingly progressive city. Nashville has never elected a Republican mayor, for instance. In the 1950s and 60s, before the end of the Jim Crow South, it was not uncommon to see black men and white men walking together.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?